I don't know if I mentioned to you, but because of communion, our program is a little different than the regular Sabbath that we have at church here today. I encountered a test this week in the book of John. And probably you have read this test too. So if you are kind, can you open your Bible in John 7:38? And this happened to me last Sunday when I was doing Bible reading. And the test created like a big impression. It's a very well-known test. John 7:38, and this is what the Bible says, right? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If we stop right there, like very poetic, beautiful words, but what is the meaning of that? Right? We can conclude that Jesus was speaking in a symbolic way because of the following portion of the scripture, kind of like make a clarification, right? If you continue reading verse 39, but he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, two details. One, the Holy Spirit having given what John is trying to say in the measure and the abundance that they received during Pentecost, right? Just to make that clear, because the Holy Spirit was already working among them. Second, what is the deal when being glorified? What the Bible means when they say Jesus wasn't glorified? What is you think that John was trying to say? In simple terms, you are being glorified that you are not being killed. That's what it means. When Jesus was glorified? At his death. Right. Interesting, right? That you will think that that which in the view of many of his followers and people that surrounded him was the most sad moment of his ministry, the lowest point, was the most glorious and beautiful moment in the sight of God. So that gives you like an idea how God can transform something that is very painful and sad into something beautiful. And maybe when we are going through that moment of sadness and pain, we don't think, oh, this is something good, but God can turn it around. So the reason that I was reflecting in this test, and by the way, during this whole month of September here in Aiken, we will be preaching and making an emphasis on prayer. So our sermon today had to do with prayer. Jesus is making a statement that to me was interesting. Get my curiosity. He say, like the scripture says. So meaning he's quoting something from where? From the Old Testament, right? From the scripture, from the Torah, whatever they know at the time. So like the scripture say, whoever believes in me will have like a river of living water flowing out of him, which is a beautiful picture. And it is a beautiful picture because when you visit Israel today, you will discover that the less common thing that they have in there is water. I don't know how they call it the land who floods, you know, when honey and milk, because that place is dry. It's a desert. Hot. Not much growing around there, especially in the south, which is desert. You walk around rocks and like every here and there, it's kind of like a little bush. Kind of like you are walking in Texas, right? Is anyone here from Texas? Well, bigger, a little more drier than Texas. You know, very dry, it's not a lot of cactus and few little bushes in here and there. Now, in South Carolina, you go outside and you see all this green everywhere. It's kind of like give you an idea. We have a lot of vegetation, but some places, it's not like that. And Palestine, Israel is quite dry. There's not a lot of food. There's not a lot of places where you can grow food. Now, in Jesus' time, if you can know get water, and so you can know had crops, you can know had food. They were highly dependent on rain, right? And the rains had to be consistent, so in that way your plants won't die. If for something happened in the climate and they didn't have rain, they will go hungry. Why? Because they won't have crops, they don't have food to eat or seeds to plant for the following year. So Jesus is making a bit interesting appealing, right? Number one, he's crying out. How do you get that? Somebody's speaking to you, and somehow he's saying, if you believe in me, right? And everybody like, what? What is this guy talking about? Out of you, rivers of living water will start coming out. So that was an interesting illustration. I'm pretty sure that all the people that wasn't there turned around and started paying attention to what Jesus was saying, because that was something that it wasn't usual. So I have a story in the Old Testament that I want you to refer with me right now. It's found in the book of Exodus. And the story is also well known. You find it in Exodus chapter 15. By the way, what is the main topic in the book of Exodus? What the book of Exodus is talking about? What? There were laws? God loved, yeah, but what else? Right, like you are immigrating, right? That's a more modern way that we will say. We will immigrate from Egypt to the promised land. Like, that's very euphemistic. It wasn't no immigration. Pretty much God had to help them to get out of there because they were slaves. But they were moving out of Egypt due to many, many years of oppression. So the book of Exodus is telling you what happened from the moment that they leave Egypt and what happened through the desert, right? Now, when you look at the map, you will notice that when you get out of Egypt and you go to Israel, if you go like in a straight line, it shouldn't take you that long to walk that distance. It's difficult because there's not a lot of water in there, and the few places that you find water is salty water. So it's something that you cannot drink. But when you look at the story of Israel, you notice that they were going like all about, the whole thing, like going around and meandering there. And you wonder, why? This guy didn't have like anyone there, like good sense of orientation, kind of like nobody have a GPS at the time, like it's in that direction, like, and make you wonder why they keep going around and around. Well, it's an explanation for that. It's not because God didn't want to lead them into the right place. It's because they have some issues, some problems, right? So here in Exodus 15, the Bible will tell you that they cross over the Red Sea. You remember when God opened the water and they cross over the dry land, and when Pharaoh and his soldiers go following them, the water closed, which is an impressive miracle, right? And they were rescued. So the first verses of chapter 15 is two sons. One is from Moses. A son is pretty much like a hymn, worshiping and praising God for all the amazing things. And the second son, which is a little brief, a little smaller, is from his sister Miriam, right? It's Miriam, I'm pronouncing it correct. And very brief son. And after that, you encounter the story that I want you to refer. And this is found in verse, let me see. Sorry, I need to get my reading in the right way. Verse number 22, okay? Let's go here in Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. How many days? 3 days, no water. And so whatever amount of water that they were carrying in these bags made from leather was running out. Neither to say that they were also going with animals and other things that they require a lot of water. And it made you wonder why you are going through a desert with a bunch of people and water, with animals, sorry. So continue reading, and then the Bible says, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name was called Marah. So Marah in Hebrew means bitter, right? Question, why the water is bitter? What flavor had the water? When you drink water, do the water have flavor? Ah, the water has flavor, actually. People will tell you water doesn't have any flavor. But no, water has flavor. If you become like a connoisseur like me, an expert in water, and you drink a lot of bottles of water, you will discover that not all water is equal. All right, this is a brand from Sands. This is the one that I, at Walmart, you know, like, the one that I like because it doesn't taste that bad. I think it's tap water, just filtrated, that's all it is. You know, but I like the flavor of this water. Nestle and other companies had water, right? And yeah, no good. You know, like, the it's another brand, I don't remember. Different brands, different flavors. It's kind of like a weird taste in there. So when you are drinking water, you will discover that water has flavor. But you are correct. Pure water shouldn't have any flavor, right? But natural water, spring water, has flavor because it's mixed with minerals, right? If the minerals proportion in the water is too high, the flavor of the water changes. So what I'm thinking right now is that that water somehow was high in one mineral. Maybe zinc, maybe sodium, something that it tastes, the water tastes different, right? That's not an easy, I mean, they had water, but they can't drink it. It's undrinkable because it will make them sick. It's unbalanced. And so that's a problem, right? They are discovering that they have a big necessity. They are in the middle of nowhere. It is no other source of water. And the only source of water that they have is undrinkable. So I want you to picture yourself in this situation. I want you to imagine being in that place. We happen to be super hot. And you are sweating a lot. And you had little kids, right? You know how your kids become when they start asking for things. And you can provide for them, how that will make you feel. So people, of course, start getting a little angry, right? And when things go wrong, in many occasions, we get angry with God. And in this case, who was the representative of God? Moses. So they start getting angry with Moses because Moses had the genial idea to lead them into this place. We happen to have no water, and the only source of water is undrinkable, right? So we are in there right now. Verse number 24, and the people complain against Moses, saying, "What should we drink? Where do we go? Right? What is the place where we can go and buy water?" Nothing. Verse 25, and this is the test that I want you to pay attention. So he cried out to the Lord. Who cried out? What is the meaning of the word crying? It's a prayer, very good, but what kind of prayer? It's an earnest prayer, it's a prayer of desperation. You know that we all pray, right? When things are okay, Lord, I need a better job, I want to get me a donut, please help me here. You know, like little things like that. You want them, but like Gabriela was mentioning in the story for the kids, it's not something that made you desperate. But certain circumstances in life will make you cry to the Lord because you know that you are desperate and there's no human solution possible. What human solution you can give to these people? Well, if you have a filter, you can take care of the problem. So sad you don't have a filter. What else you can do for them? Maybe through osmosis, right? Evaporating the water. I don't think that they had that technology or that knowledge in there. So no doable. They were under circumstances for that amount of people that they were completely desperate. How many people was, by the way, going through the desert? The Bible mentions 600,000 men. Doesn't count the ladies and the kids. So you can estimate, like, probably close to 2 million people. It's a big number of people who requires water, a lot of water, thousands of gallons every day. And the only source is damaged, is affected, right? So Moses is crying, and Moses is praying to God, and Moses is arguing with God. Lord, I'm here. Where are you? I'm very desperate. Nobody's here to help me. You made this amazing miracle 3 days ago, but now we need another miracle, right? Now we need water to drink. And the Lord was amazing. God was so good that he answered the prayer. And this is one of the things that kind of like confused me a little bit about God. Because pay attention to this. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The translation from Hebrew, because I was checking this word, tree, is a piece of wood. I thought it was like a bush or like a plant, but it can be translated in many ways. Here they are translating like a living plant, like a tree, which I doubted because in the desert you don't have many trees growing. But it's possible that it was a tree, a living tree. But I want to suggest to you that it was a piece of wood. That makes sense to you? I mean, come on. You will throw in a piece of dead wood in water, and now the water will become healed. You can be able to drink it. That makes sense? All right, so you start reaching some conclusions, right? This is a miracle, right? This is an action of God. God had decided to use this piece of wood to bring his blessing and heal the water because the fountain was affected. Now the fountain is no longer bitter and can be a blessing to everybody, right? So I want you to think about that piece of wood, because in the Bible, talk about trees and wood in many occasions. For instance, the Bible describes that humanity start with problems when our first parents go and eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Do you remember that? So we had to get connected with a tree. So for Christians, salvation is also connected to a piece of wood, right? How are you connected? At the cross. The cross happened to be a piece of wood used for punishment. It changed symbol, and now it's meaningful to us because it reminds us about Jesus Christ and his salvation. When you go through the book of Revelation, you discover that one of the promises for God's people is that at the end of time, you will be allowed to eat of the tree of life, right? So it's kind of like an illustration to point out that the tree is all through human history. You can see it in many, many ways. When you are reading, for instance, the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah refers to Jesus Christ as a root, as a plant without beauty. That's, for instance, one of the texts in the Bible. Say, Jesus or the Messiah will be like a plant without beauty, and people won't pay attention to him. That's interesting, right? So Jesus has mentioned there in John that if you believe in him, eventually, out of your heart, good things will come out. The result of the Holy Spirit working in your life, right? Do you think it's possible that instead of good things coming out of your heart, instead of getting sweet water that people can drink, it's coming out of our hearts bitter water? Do you think that can happen to us? Do you think that little things in your life can make you bitter? That ever happened to you? That somebody did something to you many years ago and you are still ruminating about that. I remember what you did or what he did. And every single time that you remember about that, you get angry. So what is that action, what this situation that happened many, many years, probably a month or days in the past, is doing to you now? It's making you what? Bitter, sad, right? So I have a proposal to you. Right? When you are under these difficult circumstances, when out of your heart is not coming good or kindness, what if we pray? I just like to suggest that. What if we pray to God in an honest and earnest way and ask God to help us to heal ourselves first, right? Because that's the way I'm looking at this portion of the Bible. Do I have bitterness towards certain people? And I discovered, yeah, I had certain issues with certain people. I don't talk about that, but it's affecting me, especially when I have to relate with these persons. So the only one who can really bring healing into my life is God, and he is providing for you and for me healing, right? Second suggestion after praying. What do you think if we throw a piece of wood into that fountain of water? I'm suggesting to you the cross of Christ into that problem in your heart. Can really Christ make a difference in our lives, make us better people, more sweet, more kind, more compassionate? You know, I always get amazed in the amount of knowledge that you had, that you encountered in churches when people, because it's just a lot of knowledge, it's a lot of information that we can do so much good, but then I get really, really sad when I discover that that knowledge gets tainted with bitterness, because then the good things get spoiled. Right? It's a good blessing only if God can heal us and help us to get better, then we can give something to others that it can be a blessing to them. So another suggestion to you. The Bible says that once Moses threw the piece of wood into the water was healed. Let's go do some reading here. So in verse number 20, 5, he says, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made statutes and ordinance to them, and there he tested them. And he said to them, if you diligently do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, and we pull none of the diseases for which I have brought you out of Egypt, for I am the Lord who heals you. So the whole water thing was kind of like a big illustration for Israel. What is the big illustration? You see the fountain of water that is all bitter? That's you. And I will bring something from outside, and I will put it inside, and I will help you to get better. This is not something that you can have. This is something that God is providing for you and for me. Do you get it, right? It's not that they can go and grab a bush and throw it in the water. No, no, no. The idea didn't come from them. The plan, the design, the whole thing come from God. It's kind of like God was leading it into that desperate situation, and when they were so desperate, then he presented the solution. Because he was trying to teach them something. What was that, what God was trying to teach them? You think that you are special because I get you out of Egypt, that you are very good? No, you are not that good. You are really bitter. You are a sad kind of people. And I will help you to get better and heal. You need to keep my commandments. You need to remember my statutes. And I was thinking, what exactly is Moses talking about when he said statutes? I can't get the part of the Ten Commandments, right? Then you go to the original Hebrew and you start reading in there. And what the Bible is trying to say is, if you keep the things related to food, that's what the word really means, the portions of our food. So the statutes are related to diet. So the rest of the test kind of like it will make sense. If you keep God's commandment and if you take care of the proper diet that I'm giving you, you won't get sick. You will be healed. You won't be like the people in Egypt that they used to eat whatever they want and that's why they get healed and sick. You will be different. Oh, that kind of like made more sense. Oh, now I understand why these guys are so picky about food and they don't eat this and that. It's because God was giving them instructions, right? He wanted them to be blessed. So the text is trying to tell you that God will provide for us the solution, but we need to listen. You know how difficult it is for us to listen? You talk to people in occasions once, twice, three times, and they continue asking you the same thing over and over. That ever happened to you? Yeah. That happened to me all the time. I go to a place and I start talking to somebody. I guess they are distracted or they are doing something, and I explain the reason that I am here. It's for this and this and this. Okay, good. You know, and why you come here? Oh, it's because I need a help with this and this and this. Oh, great. Yeah, let me help you out. Again, what is the reason that you come here? When they ask me the third time, the same question, in my mind I said, this person is not paying attention. They are not listening, right? Because we can hear sounds, but that doesn't mean that we are listening, right? Listening, that means that you put attention, that you are concentrated, that you are understanding, that you are getting it. In many occasions, I tell you this because it happens to me all the time in my house. My wife is talking to me, and I, yeah. And then later she asked me, do you remember when you say that? No, I don't know. You never told me that. Come on, you say that? Yes, I tell you this day, this, this. And I had that problem. You know, to appease her, I say yes, but in reality, I'm not paying attention. I'm not listening. So what the Bible is saying here, you need to pay careful attention to what God is trying to do for you. Do you really want to be healed? He has a solution for you. He's providing Jesus Christ. He will bring it into your life. And all this root of bitterness that you have, these angry issues that you have, all these frustrations, eventually will disappear. You will get better. Dear brothers, members, friends that are here today, I hope that God can heal you and bless you today. You see, today we are doing something very simple here. We will use in two symbols. One is a little cup of grape juice that we call wine. Yeah, I will explain you that later. The grape juice. And then it's a little pieces of bread. Don't ask me why they are small, but that's what we always, little tiny pieces of bread that we use as a representation of Jesus' body broken at the cross. So there are two small symbols. They are simple but they are very meaningful for us, right? Because we realize that they are outside. And this is what God is trying to use us and to remind us that unless we eat the flesh of his son and the spiritual saints and drink his blood, we won't be healed. You can continue claiming that you're a good Christian and walking around life happy, but you won't be transformed. You will be the same person. And when you open your mouth, instead of praising God, what will come out of your mouth? Bitterness and complaining and nagging, right? Thank you, God, for helping me. So it's our choice. Are you allowing God to heal you, to help you out? I hope that you do. So whatever decision that he does for you, I hope that you get a blessing. Listen, we don't pretend to know everything about the scripture. I have a conversation with my son the other day. And I was being accused of being fake. And I was arguing, saying, I don't think that I'm fake. I acknowledge that I am not perfect because I continue being changed and transformed by God, but I never claim to be fake. You know, if you don't see me behaving like the way that you should do, it's because, like you, maybe I have some shortcomings too, things that I need to work in my life, right? Do you realize that is still happening in your life? Okay, it's important that you remember that, right? Keep us humble. So with that in mind, I would like you to please stand. Let's have a prayer right now. Heavenly Father, today we are pleading, O Lord, with you. We are crying. We are asking you to please listen to our prayers. Father, we are being blessed more than what we really deserve. But what we are asking you today is to please heal us. Help us to be joyful, happy people. People that enjoy the gospel, that can tell others how amazing, how sweet it is to be walking around you, how important it is to accomplish salvation, to be in your presence. Lord, we had many mistakes, we had many shortcomings. We are asking you to please forgive us and help us to be transformed. Thank you for providing for us. In Jesus' name, amen.